Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today and for several days on the subject of a chance to die. What a strange title, you may be saying. Well, I agree. It needs a little explaining, doesn't it? It's the title of a book, a biography that I wrote about a woman whose life has had an incalculable impact in my own life. Her name was Amy Carmichael. She was an Irish missionary who spent 53 years in India with no furloughs. One of the things that Amy Carmichael used to say was, when anything cuts across your natural desires, see in it a chance to die. First of all, I'd like to tell you a little bit about why I wrote this book. I talk a lot about faith, don't I? F-A-I-T-H. Now, what in the world is faith? Everybody talks about faith. All sorts of radio programs, lots of television programs talk about faith. And people casually use the word to mean any kind of a religion. They speak about, well, he belongs to a different faith. And it is a word that causes a lot of confusion. I could talk about theories of faith. I could give you definitions from the dictionary and from the Bible. And I tried, as I was growing up, to learn what faith was all about, because I came from a Christian family and I went to church and Sunday school and Bible conferences and Bible schools and all sorts of places where I heard about faith. But nothing has so clearly and powerfully taught me what faith is like a real live model. Wouldn't you agree? There's just nothing that comes even close to a real live model for teaching power. And the same thing would go for love. We can talk about love from here till kingdom come. But without a visible model of a loving person, we don't really know very much about it, do we? I came from a Christian home, as I've told you. There were some live models there of both faith and love. And there was something else in that Christian home. Our house was lined with books. I can remember places where we lived where things were so cramped that we had to have bookcases in the hall so that you had to kind of walk sideways down the hall. There wasn't enough room. But we had books in every room, books in our cribs, I guess, before we could read, before we could even turn the pages very well. We sort of lived and ate and breathed and drank books. And it was in a good many of those books that I also found what seemed live models to me. There was a deep and powerful influence in my life through Christian biographies. If a biography is well written, then it certainly ought to be the next best thing to seeing the very living flesh. So I recommend to you the story of the lives of men and women who have been faithful to God. Tracing in the story of one person's life the faithfulness of God and the faith of one man or one woman, what is the effect of that faithfulness? What do I find on the pages of that book? What kind of a difference did Jesus Christ make in that person's life? How did he or she cope? Let me name a few of the biographies that helped to shape my life and my understanding of the word faith. The biographies of Hudson Taylor, of David Brainerd, who was a missionary in New Jersey and Pennsylvania to the Indians back in the 17th century. James Fraser of the China Inland Mission, Henry Martin of India, David Livingstone of Africa, Francis Ridley Havergal, a great hymn writer, Lilias Trotter, founder of the North Africa Mission, Amy Carmichael, the lady about whose life I want to be telling you in the next few days, Betty Scott Stamm, many others, but these are just samples. In my study where I prepared this talk, I have on the wall a motto done in bronze with these words, "Make me thy fuel." That comes from a poem that Amy Carmichael wrote. The poem ends with these lines, "Make me thy fuel, flame of God." It has been one of the poems of my life. I memorized it when I was in college. To my great delight, the president of the college who spoke at our commencement quoted that poem in its entirety. And so the friend who made that little bronze plaque for me, Liz Armstrong of Columbus, Ohio, knew that I loved those words, "Make me thy fuel," and she knew that it was one of my prayers. And so I have that on my wall. I also have a complete shelf of blue-bound books, cloth-bound books, written by Amy Carmichael. She wrote about 40 books. I have her picture. I have a bronze cross on the wall that also belonged to Amy Carmichael. It was given to me by a missionary who told me that when Amy was very ill, shortly before her death, she'd gotten to the place where she could neither read the Bible, nor think, nor pray for any length of time. And when the pain would be so great that she couldn't do anything else, she would ask for someone to hand her that bronze cross, and she would just hold it in her hands. That means something to me. And those books that she wrote spelled out for me the meaning of that prayer, "Make me thy fuel." They spelled out also the meaning of taking up the cross, one of the conditions of discipleship. What does it mean to take up one's cross? What is love with a capital L? Amy Carmichael wrote a gem of a book with a two-letter title, the word "if." "If" by Amy Carmichael. This is the way that book begins. There are times when something comes into our lives which is charged with love in such a way that it seems to open the eternal to us for a moment, or at least some of the eternal things, and the greatest of these is love. It may be a small and intimate touch upon us or our affairs, light as the touch of the dawn wind on the leaves of the tree, something not to be captured and told to another in words. But we know that it is our Lord. And then perhaps the room where we are, with its furniture and books and flowers, seems less present than His presence. And the heart is drawn into that sweetness of which the old hymn sings. The love of Jesus, what it is, none but His loved ones know. That kind of love that Amy Carmichael embodied and exemplified and wrote about began to seep into my heart and into my thinking as an ideal, as a goal toward which to live and to direct my prayers. She was much more than a role model to me. She was a spiritual mother. She was an influence on Jim Elliot. It was just a tremendous thrill to me in my first conversations with Jim Elliot, with whom I had fallen in love as a college student. What a thrill to learn that Jim Elliot was a fan of my friend Amy Carmichael. Of course, I had never met her, except in the pages of her books. But lo and behold, Jim had been memorizing her poetry, too. I can still hear him saying those words, "From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me." You know, men are desperately in need of women to look up to, as are we women. They need women who deserve reverence and respect, You have not had godly women in your lives. May I commend to you Amy Carmichael as a model, as one whose life could influence yours as it did Jim Elliot's. A number of years ago, we met a lady who had worked with Amy Carmichael, had been, in fact, one of her nurses. And I said to her, do you think there's a possibility that I might be permitted to write a new biography of Amy Carmichael? There had been one that came out in 1952, written by Frank Houghton, but I felt that a new one was needed. And she said, well, I don't see why not. I'll put you in touch with the proper people. She did, and this book is the result. The title is A Chance to Die. One of the pages that opens her book quotes this poem, which was one of her favorites. Be earnest, earnest, earnest. Mad, if thou wilt. Do what thou dost, as if the stake were heaven, and that thy last deed before the judgment day. That's by Charles Kingsley. May God help us to have eyes to see each chance to die, to say no to ourselves and yes to God.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.